Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
I'm excited to bring a word today that I believe will encourage you. Now listen, I'm excited about this word, y'all. Not because I'm bringing it, but because it is the Word of God. Because I know what God wants to say to us. And it's my prayer we'll be able to hear in our hearts and comprehend in our minds and embrace with our whole being what God's saying to us in this hour. We've been teaching a series on Thanksgiving is a lifestyle. Say, Thanksgiving is a lifestyle. And this is just part three, and this came to me during the sabbatical time, and when I would come back, I'd be teaching this. So the whole month we're focusing on this Thanksgiving, not the holiday itself, but we're focusing on thanks-giving. Giving thanks is a lifestyle. And, you know, we know that. I know we know it. But there's so much in that concept, in that reality, that we're bringing out to you here in the past 3 weeks. Today, we're going to take our text from 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll read and give you the topic for today. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and beginning at verse 12. If you can, see that, read with me, please. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me by the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit, because I did not find Titus, my brother, but taking leave of them, I departed from Macedonia. Now thanks be to God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the fragrance of his knowledge by us in every place. Paul wrote here by the Holy Spirit's inspiration, verse 14, now be thanks to God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ. Thanksgiving is a lifestyle. My topic today is triumph always. Say triumph, always. Paul said plainly that God always causes us to triumph in Christ. So I want you to understand what he means by that and how we can actually experience that. That's a great statement. You say amen to that. We all say amen to that. But what does he mean when he says that? Now, Paul looked for various ways to encourage believers by letter. Paul sometimes struggled to communicate what he was going through. Paul faced, you know, many, many difficulties and challenges and persecutions, this you know. Because on one hand, he wanted to be authentic. He wanted to communicate honestly to people. But at the same time, he didn't want to discourage anybody. You know, sometimes you want to share your story. But your story can be so hard, so difficult, folk have difficulty hearing it sometimes. It's just too much for some people. So Paul knew that. Paul knew that. He needed to communicate with the people. I mean, he only saw them rarely, certain times a year. There were no blog posts. There were no Twitter posts. I mean, Paul couldn't just pick up the phone and do a robocall. I mean, Paul just couldn't inform people regularly. So the few times he had a chance to send a letter to be read to the congregation, he had to make that valuable. He had to make that purposeful. So he couldn't spend the whole half the letter talking about what he's been going through. But he did say he'd always shared a bit of what he had gone. He shared some of that because the people need to know how to pray for him. But he always went from there to a place of encouraging people, even through his own hardships. So it's hard for us to comprehend, but it was tough for him to figure out how could I tell people what I'm going through without discouraging them and make sure that I encourage them and still deal with the doctrinal issues, with stuff going on in the churches he was aware of. I mean, false teachers. He dealt with a lot of stuff, being an apostle. But he found a way. He found a way to both communicate what he was going through, not discourage the people, but in fact encourage the people, establish doctrine, all that he did by letter, and will follow up with a visit when he could, or send someone over there when he could. Now, I share this because in our text today, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, in fact, chapter 1 also, if you go back and read chapter 1, he's sharing some difficult things. He had to deal with somebody who had sinned, and had the church had to deal with the guy, and it was time now to receive him back to the fellowship. So he dealt with that in chapter 1. And right here in chapter 2 and verse 12, Paul says, I had no rest in my spirit because I could not find Titus, my brother. That was on his mind. He just left it right there. But notice that, and Paul always did this, whenever Paul shared some bad news, he came back with some good news. He wouldn't ever leave you with just what had happened, what it troubled him, what was going wrong. He would then come and encourage the people. Here he said again, I thank God who always will cause us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Now, that's the whole point of today's word, is to show us how to triumph and how we triumph always. Say, I triumph, always. Now, at that time, there was just one church movement. There wasn't like Baptist and Methodist and Pentecostal and all that. It was just the church that began at Pentecost. So in one sense, it was easier because Apostle Paul was the apostle to all the church that was then. And he sent letters that were copied and circulated around and read to the people. So he was very aware of his words, and his writings had impact upon the people of God in that day. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8, he says, for we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia. For we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Just for example, okay? I mean, Paul shared that with the people. But notice here in his sharing, he was saying that he didn't get the details into deep, but he said, look, now, what we went through here, we were burdened beyond measure and above strength. Now, for Paul to say that, it must have been severe. He even said, we despaired even of life. We thought we were going to die. And he says further, he says, we had the sentence of death in ourselves. We were as good as dead. He just knew we're going to die here. Even so much he said that we should not trust God, trust in ourselves, but trust in God who raises the dead. So God, he said, look, I'm going to trust God. If I die, I'll be raised from the dead either at that time or later. In other words, I'm going to trust God no matter what happens. Now, again, that's good. That's good sharing, good preaching. But, you know, people don't want to hear that. I mean, you just can't come and your whole message is, I almost died. Hallelujah. Praise him, everybody. You can't leave people there. You know what I'm saying? Because that was his experience, not their experience. But he was sharing with them, and he had to share what he was going through. We do the same thing. We need to share what we're going through. But Paul had the grace to give God thanks. He had a lifestyle of thanksgiving. So, you know, that's why we see in the second chapter that Paul still shares more concerns. Now about where is Titus? I don't know where he is. But then it's almost, he just suddenly changed gears and said, thanks be to God, who always causes the triumph in Christ. When you read that, it almost seems disconnected because there's no reason why he should have gone straight from worried about Titus in the previous chapter dealing with almost died and go straight to, well, thanks be to God. Hallelujah. Thank God, glory. Hallelujah anyhow. You know, that's what he did. He went straight to pray. He went straight to thanking God. That's an example to us. Now, for example, look at Acts 14. Paul dealt with stuff. When Paul said that we're going to not trust in ourselves, but trust in God who raises the dead, I think Paul may have been talking about this. Acts chapter 14 and verse 19. Paul went to a place called Lystra. Look what happened. Verse 19. Then Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. He may have been dead. He may have died from stoning. Was a bad way to go down. I mean, any kind of death, any kind of suffering, affliction is bad. Gunshot, whatever. But being hit with a whole bunch of rocks, being rocks and stones thrown at you until you bleed and you bruise and you fall over. I mean, they killed people in that day by stoning. That was a method of killing people, of execution, by stoning. They stoned Paul, and they dragged him out, assuming he was dead. Then says in verse 20, however, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city. Like I told you, I always tell you in that story, like, hey, man, listen, if I get stoned, you raise me up, I'm going on vacation. I'm going to take a sabbatical. I'm going on vacation. I'm not going back to the city. He went right back in there. Man, Paul was something special. Paul was something special, but he was called to this. He had a Thanksgiving lifestyle. This man understood in ways that we can't comprehend, honestly, how to press into God, stay true to the purpose of God until the Lord brought deliverance. Now look at Acts chapter 20. And Paul shared, this was the meeting he had with the Ephesians elders on a different occasion. And he shared this, Acts 20:24. He said this. No slide for this, but he said this. But none of these things move me. That is, what things? All the stuff he'd been through, including being stoned and dragged out of the city as dead. None of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. So his calling and assignment was ever before him. He put that right up in front of him. That was his objective, his goal. Obviously, he lived it. He lived the purpose of God to the point where even when things happened to him, those things would not move him. Now, by move, he meant make him quit, make him change his mind. Come on, somebody, make him throw his hands up, right? See, the point is the devil and trouble comes to try to move us. Try to move us. Because if we get moved, then God loses somebody he can use. If we get moved, then we're not able to serve God like we need to. We're just out of commission. We're like a football player hurt and up on the bench now, or in injured reserve. I mean, you get hurt bad enough, you can't even travel with the team anymore. They leave you at home. You don't even go with the team no more. So point is, Paul is trying to help us see something here. That Thanksgiving is a lifestyle. Without Jesus empowering us, we're going to be moved off of the place where God said, I told you to stand right here. Amen?
Amen.
Now, we're all tempted to move off of the purpose of God. I've done it on occasion. I mean, I've never moved off of it totally, but in my mind, I've quit 1,000 times in my mind. You know what I'm saying? I move. Jesus thought about moving. Jesus in the garden, when he was under all that pressure under all the, you know, he knew it was going to come. He knew the suffering was going to come, the death. He said, Lord, if possible, let this cup pass from me. He was tempted to be moved. Jesus himself was about to be moved. He said, well, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Yours be done. So the pressure to be moved off of the purpose of God, it comes to all of us. You know, it happens different ways. I'm amazed that people move over little things. Nothing like being stoned and dragged out the city, right? People move over stuff like, you didn't speak to me today. You're like, what's wrong with you? All kind of weird stuff move. Now, it's not because it can actually, you know, it has the power. See, people, if we don't live in the Word of God and rooted and grounded in the faith, anything will move you. If we don't have the Word of God and the Holy Spirit indwelling us and empowering us and establishing us, that anything can move us. If we don't spend time in the Word and prayer and fellowship, then we just weaken ourselves so that whatever comes, like Jesus said, that, you know, the example he gave of people who heard the Word, who came, you know, who did the Word, were like a house established on a rock. In fact, he described two houses. One house had no foundation. One house did. The houses looked the same, except underneath, one had foundation and one did not. The difference was that the one that had foundation were those who came to him, who heard what he said and did what he said. And when the flood came, right, the flood came, the Bible said, Jesus said, the house that lacked foundation was washed away, moved, if you will. But when the person who came to Jesus heard what he said, did what he said, when the flood came, that house stood and was not what? Moved. Amen? So that we see today that this is what we're looking at in our Christian world, is that believers are being moved by all manner of things. And when it happens, they're off the rails, that we say. They're off assignment, off purpose. So it's time for us to hear this word today and realize everything Paul is teaching us here by the Spirit is to help us to stand. Didn't he say, put the whole armor of God on? He said, what? Stand, therefore. Having done all the stand. Right? Did he say that? Against what? The wiles of the devil. The plans, the strategy, because everything the devil wants to do is to move us off of purpose, which he has been successful at in too many people's lives. So that's why Paul gave his report. When Paul said that these things have happened and you know, but I don't trust in myself. He said, none of these things move me. I don't count my life dear to myself, that I might finish my race. So what happens is, if we get too concerned about our stuff, when things threaten your stuff, then you feel a certain kind of way. That's why, you know, I thank God for blessings and homes, and I got things and, you know, all that, paid off ministry, all that. But I don't trust in none of that stuff. I still trust in God. Amen? We still trust in God. Again, Paul said, now thanks be to God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ. Then he said, and makes manifest or makes known the fragrance of his knowledge by us in every place. So even in this, Paul is showing something else he had learned. He learned that what I go through is going to be a blessing to somebody else. He learned that the fragrance of it, the knowledge of it, what God's doing through me, we're going to make that known to others who can benefit from it as well. That's why it isn't always about us. Even your trial isn't only about you. I mean, it's your trial, it's your situation, but how God helps you through it, That's the witness to somebody else. So what Paul is doing here is what we can do ourselves. In the midst of communicating the struggles and the battles he faced, he declared triumph. Now, what is a triumph? Understand that what he means in context by the word triumph is a term directly from the Roman era in which Paul lived. A triumph was the celebration and a parade following a military victory. A triumph is a parade. Say, a triumph is a parade. It's exactly what it is. It's a parade. It's a parade specifically resulting from, in the Roman era, a military victory. Read to you now from William Barclay on this. He said this: the highest honor which could be given to a victorious Roman general was a triumph. To attain it, he must satisfy certain conditions. He must have been the actual commander-in-chief in the field. The campaign must have been completely finished, the region pacified, and the victorious troops brought home. 5,000 of the enemy at least must have fallen or been killed in one engagement. A positive extension of territory must have been gained, not merely a disaster retrieved or attack repelled. And the victory must have been won over a foreign foe and not in a civil war. So the Romans' qualification for a military parade or triumph was what I read right there. Now, Paul knew that. He was Roman. He knew this. Everybody knew it in that region. So what Paul did, he transferred the concept of a military victory into the revelation of where he stood in Christ. Now understand this, that where a Roman general was only given a triumph celebration according to specific requirements I just read to you, Paul literally declared victory. Because of Jesus, he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's Philippians. And so Paul didn't wait for things to fall together. Paul said, I'm going to declare the victory. I'm going to triumph now. I'm not going to wait until all the blessings fall in, because I believe by faith I already have the victory. I'm going to praise him now. I'm going to give thanks now. I'm going to triumph now. I'm going to have a parade all by myself. Well, me, myself, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. If I can find someone to agree with me, they can join me too. Now, this sounds weird. It is weird, because the military triumph required all these things to fall in place first. But the triumph we have in Christ is because of what Christ has already done. Amen. And what I believe is done. I'm healed. Yeah. I'm blessed. I'm prosperous. I believe he's already won the victory. The triumph is a celebration after the victory. So you have believed you've already won. You should throw a party. Amen. Have a parade and triumph. Now, it ain't going to seem arrogant to some folks. You can't tell everybody about these things. Everybody can't handle this. It takes revelation to know what you believe about what God's done in your life. But the idea and the concept is exactly, listen, Paul just told us about the problems with the brother who fell into sin. He talked about they almost died. They despaired of life. We had the sentence of death in ourselves. I can't find Titus. Thanks be to God who always calls us to triumph in Christ. He went straight there, man. He didn't say, have you seen Titus? I can't find Titus. Somebody go find Titus. I'm sure he talked about that later. But see, in the letter, he wanted the people to understand how to handle it. He said, now, I don't know what title is, but he said, we took leave of that. We just left without it. We just went ahead and we left without Titus. We continued the mission. We went to the next place without Titus. Thanks be to God who always caused me to triumph in Christ. You getting this? This is the same Paul talked about. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. I glory in my infirmities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. That guy. He had a revelation of these things. Because when you experience that much suffering in your life, you better have revelation of victory in Jesus. Because you won't get any help from the circumstances. Sometimes your circumstances don't offer you any help whatsoever. I mean, a lot of people around you don't offer no. I mean, you don't want to tell people some stuff. Because they're going to try to psychoanalyze you. You know, like, are you all right? Maybe you sin somewhere in your life. You know what I'm saying? So I don't tell a lot of people my stuff. You know that. You don't tell folks stuff. They can't handle it. Now, there are folks you do tell because you know they're going to do with it. They're going to listen to you and pray for you and say, let's thank God. Let's praise him right now. Amen. They won't sit there and stew and stay off in there and try to analyze you and pick at you and say, well, you should try this. You know I'm talking about somebody. Amen. Well, I tell you, God is helping us here in this text right here. Another occasion. Look at 2 Corinthians 11. Another occasion I'm going to share with you. Now, here in the same book, 2 Corinthians, Paul dealt with accusations because there were people in and around the churches who said, now, Paul, you know, he's not really what he said he is. He's not really an apostle. I mean, there were people in the churches dissing Paul. Now, Paul wasn't there. He couldn't defend it. But when Paul heard about it, he responded to things. So when Paul heard about people trying to say that he was not authentic, and these so-called, you know, the false teachers, of course, people who said that we're the true apostles, not Paul, listen to us, not him. Look what Paul said here. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 22. He says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. He said, no, you know, if they ministers, I'm crazy, okay? If they are true ministers, I am nobody. If they are real, then how could I be? See, Paul began to show the people that a real minister, a real apostle, is not somebody who says they're an apostle. Who put the title in front of their name, changed their name. What's your name? My name is Apostle Brian Hudson. Now, what's your name? It's Brian. Well, if people change their name, I'm suspect of that. Don't tell me. I asked you for your name. You gave me your title. Don't do that. Not with me, at least. Because I don't trust that up front. But Paul said, he says, are the ministers of Christ? So am I. I speak as a fool. I am more. I've done more. I have the credentials. Paul says, this is deep right here, y'all. This is very. He says, in labors more abundant, in stripes our beatings more above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often, meaning either he died or faced death, or both. We just read Acts, right? He may have died there, y'all, and was raised from the dead. It's possible. He says, from the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes, minus one, 39 stripes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep, that is in the ocean or in the sea, in the waters. In journeys often, in perils of waters, perils of robbers, perils of my own countrymen, perils of Gentiles, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren. Wink, wink. In weariness and toil, in sicknesses often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And besides all this, What comes upon me daily? My deep concern for all the churches. Now, a man like that, you got to learn how to give God some thanks. Not only people talk about being offended. You think Paul wasn't offended? You think Paul wasn't betrayed and under a burden of suspicion and people talking about him? And I'm saying, that's why we thank and praise God. He said, none of these things move me. And he's showing the Corinthians right there that people who say they're your leaders need to really be leaders who have proven themselves, who have been through the fire, been through the flood, and are still standing, not moved off the purpose of God. Now again, he shared that. He wouldn't have shared that except to show the people, the folk who said that they were authentic, couldn't be because they haven't been through any of the sufferings and challenges that true leaders actually face. Amen? People like, you know, back in the day, our ancestors and the civil rights movement people, they went through stuff. I mean, you say you're not going to vote? What's wrong with you? You lost your mind? What is wrong with you? Right? Because, man, we have to respect and honor what it took to get us here, spiritually, socially, physically. The sacrifices made by our parents and grandparents and others. Man, a lot's gone to bring us to this position. People who have the right to say, you need to do the right thing. You need to follow through on your purpose and stand because I stood for you, so you can stand. Now, again, this Paul saying, Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Here's Paul's method. That he saw victory by faith and determined to triumph or create a celebration of thanks to God. Please get that. He's teaching us that method right there. In the midst of whatever he's dealing with, he saw victory. He saw the victory. He thanked God for it and determined to triumph or create a celebration. It's amazing to me that we can do exactly that. We can, in the midst, I mean, look, here's Paul and Silas chained to a wall in a dungeon, right? Jailed in a pitch black dungeon, and the Bible says they sang praises to God. They gave thanks and sang praises to God. The Bible says basically a supernatural earthquake happened. I mean, God shook the place, and the chains fell off, prison doors swing open, and they all walked out of there. Because they did a triumph. They had a parade. They had a praise for God. And listen now, praise isn't a pep rally. Now, when I was in high school, I played football. Our team wasn't very good. You know, had a bad year. We always had pep rallies. We had these pep rallies, I think on like during school on Friday. Rah, 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 hey, 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 go Knights, go Knights. Yeah, yeah, go get them, go. And then go out and lose like 30 to nothing, you know. That's a pep rally. We don't have pep rallies. Because when we praise God, God moves. God's power manifests. Things change. Angels are present with us. We're not just having a triumph to make ourselves feel better. We don't do stuff to feel better. We do it because we are better in Christ. He is empowering us. And so the circumstance we face is very real. But praise and thanksgiving is what helps God shake that thing. Like that jail with Paul and Silas, God will shake that circumstance and open your prison bars. Because the victory has already been promised. It's a matter of, well, our prayer, Mr. Bertha said, It's already promised. Just how is God going to do it this time? I don't know. I don't need to. Listen, God has creative ways of doing things. I can't figure it out. So that's God's department. It's for me to believe him, trust him, and say amen. Say, God, now you got it. Do what you do. Amen. So Paul settled in his mind, no matter what happens, I'm going to come through with victory in Jesus' name. Or he could say, the bigger the battle, the bigger the triumph. Say, the bigger the battle, the bigger the triumph. So even in your present circumstance, right now, whatever you're going through, we're all going through something. And some of us are going through worse things right now than other people. Doesn't matter. It's the same model, the same plan. You're going to share with somebody with it, about it, get some prayer on it, you know, unburden your heart. Share it with those who have faith. And then once you've done that, triumph. Have a parade. Have a celebration. Thank God. And because not only will you acknowledge that God is working, but it may be God will shake your situation at that time or later. He will shake it eventually. He'll shake that thing eventually. Sooner or later, he'll shake it. And if it doesn't happen right away, doesn't matter. I have the victory. It's a matter of time. Last verse. Look at back at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse 14. So again, Paul said, now thanks be to God, who always causes a triumph in Christ and makes manifest the fragrance of his knowledge by us in every place. This is the part where what we go through becomes a blessing to somebody else. He says, verse 15, for we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Please get that. My. We are the fragrance. We are what people can see and smell and sense and experience. We are the experience for people, both people of God and those who are perishing, those who are lost. So when you stand and you declare victory and triumph, you show somebody else the same way through. And more importantly, the unsaved person can see, I know what you're going through. Why are you praising God? In everything, give thanks. Why are you doing that? Because I know. I know whom I serve. I know his capabilities. You know, I know what he can do, what he has done. And he's doing it again for me. And I want to invite you in to see the same victory in your life. So here in the end of this whole thing, then the Apostle Paul made this whole, his experiences, his challenges, his defeats, his victories, they all became a fragrance of the knowledge of God for somebody else. Can you say amen? Let's all stand. Father, thank you for reminding us of the power of Jesus' name, the power of the gospel, the power of your word and your spirit to sustain us in a difficult season, but moreover, to carry us through to victory. And before we see all the evidence of victory, we're going to triumph now. We're going to, Lord, as Paul said, give thanks for you who always will cause us to triumph in Christ. So we triumph always. And Lord, he didn't say it was easy. It's obviously not easy. But Lord, it is authentic because we trust you with all of our hearts. And you've allowed us to live the life, a lifestyle in the word of thanksgiving. So Lord, when we face these challenges, Lord, we know what to do. We are not moved, Lord. We stand.